G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for Hebrew Roots on Truth to You. I'm Jono, and joining me is Jason Spiritual Babies. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
G'day, Jono. I love your introductions. They're great. I don't know how you have that much air in your lungs.
Now, listen, where are we today? Oh, we're still in, we're continuing in the epistle to the Hebrews, because there's no end to it, is there?
It's amazing. The more you look, the more you find.
It's full of goodies, and we want to investigate, what does it say? And now, of course, in the book of Hebrews, who wrote the book of Hebrews?
Who knows? This is an ongoing saga. It's a t-shirt to anyone that can tell me.
There you go. What's on the t-shirt?
I wrote the book of Hebrews. That's on the t-shirt.
I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. No, we don't know. So we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. But what we do know about the author is that he quotes from, where does he quote?
He quotes from various places, but mainly from the Septuagint.
When he's quoting from the Tanakh, he's quoting from the Septuagint. That's right.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's kind of tricky for a book that's called Hebrews. And we figured that for those who are, you know, associate themselves with or identify themselves with the Hebrew Roots movement or the Messianic movement or the Torah Christian movement or any of those movements that are kind of, you know, under the one umbrella, we thought it'd be, you know, good fun to go through the book of Hebrews, see what it says in the Septuagint, and then see what it says in the Hebrews, so that people who want to go back to the Hebrew Roots, they can do that. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds all right. What are we looking at today?
We are looking at Hebrews 10, and we're going to go from 5 through to 9, which is it's a very chunky passage.
It's chunky?
Taken directly from the Tanakh, directly from Psalms, actually.
It's a chunky passage. What translation do you have in front of you?
I am reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Ooh, I'm interested to see what that one says. Go on.
Okay. Therefore, as he, capital H, therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, "You did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in the whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, 'See, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the scroll to do your will, O God.'" After he says above, "You did not desire or delight in sacrifices and offerings, whole burnt offerings and sin offerings," and then in brackets we have, "which are offered according to the law." Then he says, "See, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second.
So that's, it is kind of chunky, isn't it? Because it's like, it's got a bit here, but, oh, by the way, he said this before it, but he actually took that bit away so that he could do the second part with which I said in that, but yeah.
And everything from "you did not want sacrifices and offerings" to "do your will, O God," is in bold, and anything in bold in this tells me that it is quoted from the Tanakh.
Ah, so the way I've got it in my New King James, I've got it in italics, and it's kind of in the same kind of format, or at least in my translation, the way that they've set the Psalms out in that kind of font as well. So what passage is it quoting in the Tanakh?
It's quoting Psalms 40.
And Psalms 40.
It's 6 and 7.
6 and 7, even a bit of 8, actually, I think. And if we go to, I went to Brenton's, because Brenton's the English of the Septuagint, and this is what it says in the Brenton's. It says, and now I'm reading from Psalm 40, verses 6 and on, which in the Hebrew, by the way, is, I think, verse 7. "Sacrifice and meal offerings thou." Ah, hang on, thou. No, that, no, I'm looking at the JPS. Hang on a second. Let me go back to the Brenton's. "Sacrifice and offering." Oh, he's got thou as well. "Wouldest." I like a bit of this old King James sort of old English.
Old English.
"Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Whole burnt offering and sacrifice," which is in italics, which kind of suggests to me that it's not there, "for sin thou didst not require." Didst not. "Then I said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written concerning me." Concerning me. "Concerning. I desired to do thy will, O my God, and thy law in the midst of mine heart." There you go. It's a bit of Brenton's.
And which book was that from?
That's Brenton's. That's not from Hebrews. That is so Brenton's is the English translation of the Septuagint, the Greek. And and that is from Psalm 40, verses 6, 7, and 8 in the English. Anyhow, that's what we've got.
Well, I have an issue then, because I want my money back from my Bible, because you have something in yours that I don't have in mine.
Which one are you? What do you mean?
My Holman Christian Standard version from Psalms 40 I don't have a special kind of body.
You, you don't? Oh, in no, your, what in
it's not the first time I've heard that. I hear that all the time. But my Psalms has not got a body that's been prepared for me.
There's a missing body.
Missing body.
Hang on. So in the Holman, in the Psalms chapter 40, what do you got from?
Well, I'll read from six.
Go on.
You shall not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a whole burnt offering or a sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the scroll. I delight to do your will, my God. Your instructions reside within me.
What happened to the ears? Something about ears instead of, you took my body away and did something with ears. What was that?
You open my ears to listen. That's really? So it's, yeah, my ears to listen.
There's a bit of body snatching going on.
Bit of body snatching.
Well, there is. Some body snatching. So this is what it says. Now look. This is what I've got in my New King James. It says Psalm 40 from verse 6 in my New King James. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened."
Mm-hmm.
What? And so it's got my ears. And what is opened?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that it was God opening David's ears to hear God's will.
You know what? That's what I reckon too, and it even says that in my New King James study notes. It says, "My ears you have opened. The Lord not only gives us ears to hear His word, but also grants us understanding so that we can truly obey Him." So, opening the ears, metaphorically speaking, I suppose, is an opening of the understanding to hear and understand. I reckon that's fair.
Right, and in my Holman one, it says, you open my ears to listen, and at the bottom it says, literally, you hollow out my ears for me.
Oy.
Right, yeah, sounds, you know, I could do that sometimes. But
one of those ear candles.
Yes, right.
Good. But the word actually is, now get this, the word is, now what does that mean? So people wonder what this is all about, because some people, now get this, there are some that say that he has pierced my ears, and they take that back to Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. I'm going to go there really quickly. Let's see how quickly we can do this. But Exodus 21, verse 6. Oh, well, let me go back. It says, but if this, this is from verse 5, but if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an oar, and he shall serve him forever. And so there are some that speculate, maybe this is David saying, you have pierced my ear, as if to say, you are my master, I am your servant, I love you, and I want to serve you forever. And he's saying, and you know, he goes on to say, offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The problem with that is that there are two different words in Exodus 21. The word for pierce in Exodus 21 is ratzah, which means to bore or pierce, you know, perhaps at the ear. In fact, it's the only place, I think, in the Tanakh where that is mentioned. In the one that we're looking at in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6, the word is kara, and that's H3738. The Strong's number, kara, which is to dig, to excavate, to dig through.
Something rings a bell here with is an Isaiah verse where the lions or the dogs are digging into.
No, that's okay. So Psalm 22 verse 16. It's exactly the same word.
That's it.
That's the one where it says lions or dig at my hands and my feet. That's Psalm 22 verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they dig at my hands and my feet, or lions at my hands and my feet, or they pierced my hands and my feet. But the word really is dug.
Yeah, interestingly, in my version, I do have pierced, and when I look at the bottom for a reference, some say like a lion, others say dug. Yes, interesting.
So incidentally, now if we get stuck on that verse, we'll be there forever, but I'll just say this quickly. There's a little asterisk in my Bible, and it does say in regards to Psalm 22, verse 16, I follow that down, it says, following some Hebrew manuscripts, Septuagint, Syriac Vulgate, Masoretic text reads, like a lion at my hands and my feet. So anyway, that's the discussion for another time. There's some homework for the listeners. Now, We go back to Psalm 40. So what does it mean? It says, so my ears you have dug. In other words, you've opened my ear. I'm going to go with what you said because I like that better than the possibility of you pierced my ears like a servant to a master that I love and I want to serve you for the rest of my life. There is some, you know, I can see how that's how someone might go with that. But really, I think it does have to do with understanding. I like that better. I'm going to go with that. My ears you have opened to understanding. Understanding what? Understanding his Torah, surely, right?
Surely. It's placed that line between two lines which are nearly the same. It starts with, you do not delight in sacrifices and offerings. Then it mentions, you open my ears to listen. And then it says, you do not ask for whole burnt offerings and sin offerings.
Mm.
It's sandwiched between those two things. So I can't help but think it must have something to do with the commandments in the Torah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with that. And it goes on. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. Now this is the interesting thing, Mr. Spiritual Babies. I've got my New King James Bible is the one that I use. It's a Nelson's New King James Study Bible. It's really very thorough with its cross-references, which I really, you know, appreciate. And when I go down to the cross-reference, because that's the first thing you want to do, you want to find out, well, if it's written in the scroll, if it's written in the Torah, where is it written in the scroll? What are we talking about here? Surely there's a cross-reference. And if I go down, it jumps from 6 to 8, and there's absolutely no cross-reference there at all. What is with that?
Well, let me see if I've got anything on here. W. There's something here. It takes me to... Well, actually, 7... Verse 7, then I said, see, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the scroll as a little X. And that's taking me to Luke 24:44.
No, that doesn't help us.
No, we're going to keep away from that.
No. Well, I think that was written pretty much after the Psalms.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I can't be 100% sure, but...
Yeah, no, I'm pretty confident.
Just off the top of my head, I think that came later. But, okay, so listen, if there's something written about David, what could we pin it on if it's talking about, you know, if the scroll is the Torah? Because he goes on to say, and your Torah is within my heart, that's in verse 8, what can we pin it on? Let's just make up a cross-reference. Go on.
Make up a cross-reference.
Just pull one out of, you know, there must be many. No, come on, what can we do with this?
Well, we can take it back to the king having to write his own Torah scroll.
There it is. Whereabouts is that?
In Deuteronomy 17:14.
There it is. That's you know what? In my New King James Study Bible, I've got little subheadings added into the text just so you know where you are for, you know, people like me when you have to sort of figure it out quickly. Principles of Governing Kings. Nice. All the way to the end of chapter 17 from, as you say, from verse 14 to verse 20.
Right. I might as well, I'll read it out. Appointing a king is the subheading of mine. When you enter the land, the Lord your God is giving you and take possession of it, live in it, and say, we want to appoint a king over us like all the nations around us. You are to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. Appoint a king from your brothers. You are not to set a foreigner up over you or one who is not of your people. However, he must not acquire many horses for himself or send the people back to Egypt to acquire many horses. For the Lord has told you, you are never to go back that way again.
Mm-hmm.
He must not acquire many wives for himself, so that his heart won't go astray. He must not acquire very large amounts of silver and gold for himself. When he is seated on his royal throne, he is to write a copy of this instruction for himself on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests.
That's worth reading again. So this is verse 18. It shall also be that when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this Torah in a book. Well, that would probably be a scroll, I suppose. From the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yehovah his God and be careful to observe all the words of his Torah and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and he and his children in the midst of Israel. Do you know what that means, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
Tell me.
If verse 7 is in reference to Deuteronomy 17, then it's also in reference to the whole Torah.
Absolutely.
There we go. Can't go wrong.
One part that really jumps out to me there is that it is to remain with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to observe all the words of instructions and statutes. And it's exactly what it says in the end of that passage in Psalms. He says, your instructions reside within me.
Mm.
He's explaining and extolling the fact that he's fulfilled this instruction pertaining to him as king. That's pretty awesome. Cool.
That is really cool. So that's so verse 8, I delight to do your will, oh my God, and your Torah is within my heart. Now, now that we've established that, I really like that. That's really good. I'm with that. Let me tell you what it says in my new JPS. It says, it interprets verse 7 thus. It's not often you get to use the word thus.
Unfortunately, it isn't, though.
No, it's an underrated word, thus. Then I said, see, I will bring a scroll recounting what befell me. But it also says down in the notes, it says, others understand written of me to mean prescribed to me. That is, the Torah is prescribed to the psalmist. Now, I'm going to go with that one. I really think that that interpretation works quite nicely, and particularly when we're talking about Deuteronomy chapters, or the latter half of Deuteronomy chapter 17, and therefore the whole Torah.
Absolutely. I like that version. And if you're reading it from the cover of the book as the face value, that makes much more sense.
Mm. Now, by the way, Mr. Spiritual Babies, if this is the case, if this is a fair interpretation of the passage, how can we sum this up? I would suggest to the listeners, and this is just me, you don't have to agree with me, but I would suggest to the listeners that 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 does it quite nicely. I'm going to read it. And so, and everyone will know this story, but you can go and read it yourselves, dear listeners. But this is what it says. So Samuel said, has Yehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
Is that fair enough?
It is fair enough, but we still have the issue of the missing body.
I know that we still have. Well, we don't really have the issue of that. I mean, there's a little bit of body snatching going on. Can't be explained. We're going to leave that up to the listeners to speculate as to where that body went. But I think that's a case for what's that program? You know, when they have to solve what is it? CSI Miami or something?
Right. Yeah, CSI Miami. I thought you were going with Mythbusters.
No. One of those. That's not us.
No, that's not us.
Do we want to add anything else to that, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
I don't think so. I think we're done.
Done.
I'm done.
Is that a record?
I think it might be.
Woohoo!
And lots of good text as well. So get the video. It's going to look nice and shiny.
I like shiny videos.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies. What's the website again?
www.spiritualbabies.net.
Yes.
Come and visit.
There it is. Spiritualbabies.net. Truth2you.org. Truth2letteru.org. Thank you, dear listeners. Stick around because there's plenty of it in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be dealing with it one by one. That'll do?
Yep, music's coming in my head. All done.
Mythbusters. So that's, I reckon that's about...
I was like, you're not going to make me say Mythbusters.
Hilarious. So that's, now the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking, why isn't there a cross-reference to Deuteronomy 17? What? Oh, look at this. No. Wait, if I go to the cross-references in my the new JPS, you know, the one we both have?
Right.
It actually, I'm looking at it now, the law of the king, it has it here in the study notes of verse 8. It says the law of the king, Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20. There it is. So they
should have read that before. It's sitting there on the shelf. I'm here with this tiny little boxy techno Sunday Bible, and
that's really funny because there it is. But it's in the JPS study notes. It's not in the other one. All right.